fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, better late than never. Sorry for the delay, people. This afternoon, we are sitting down to record the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Good afternoon, guys. How was your lunch?
What up?
All right, tell the truth. How much Nintendo did you play while we couldn't record?
I haven't played Nintendo in well over a week, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. You're already tired of it, huh?
No, I've been a little busy. As soon as week 17's over, you know, good times are ahead.
That's your game plan, huh?
Should I bring it down to Florida for my little vacation?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bring it to the office. We'll play
it's like
here.
It's like a child to Adam.
Wait,
he's
going to
buy
it
a
office,
ticket on the airplane.
If I brought it to the office, would you care?
Yeah, we'll play.
I'd play.
Okay, cool. It's like 2 pounds, so it wouldn't be a pain to pack or anything.
Do it.
All right. Good stuff. Punch out for everybody. Hey, no team goes into the season without a game plan, and Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory. A game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. And all of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. That's Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, we do it for you because you're a football fan. That would be an awesome place to watch the games on Sunday. On today's show, we're going to talk about tough calls, you know, Jacquizz Rodgers, Alfred Blue, Larry Fitzgerald, very different in the rankings depending on which analyst you're following. I think you can probably guess who's the highest on him. And just a few more. Like, I think Cam Newton is tough. Jameis Winston, same game. So I'll ask you guys for those tough calls. You know, we don't need to spend too much time. Are you starting Matt Ryan? Of course you're starting Matt Ryan. Are you starting David Johnson? Of course. So we'll look at the harder decisions. I want to know, guys, how crazy would I be to start Eli Rogers over Odell Beckham?
I think if you... Take it quarter by quarter. If you know Odell's playing a quarter, are you starting Rodgers or Beckham?
Rodgers.
If you know he's playing two quarters, you're playing Rodgers or Beckham?
Rodgers.
Wow. Three quarters, Rodgers or Beckham?
Beckham.
So it's got to be three quarters for you to play Beckham over Rodgers?
I don't know.
See, I think I'm leaning toward Beckham, even if it's a half for Odell Beckham.
I would take it in a quarter.
I don't know how explosive the Steelers are going to be.
You tell me,
Landry Jones.
You tell me that Odell Beckham plays the full first quarter. That means they're going to go balls out and try and score.
Well, that they might try. They've been trying to score all year. They haven't done it very well.
Well, he's the one that scores.
All right, fine. Let's pick a guy you like better. How about Marquise Lee? How crazy would you have to be to start Marquise Lee over Odell Beckham?
Not crazy at all. That's an easy one.
That's easy.
You do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have Beckham ranked higher right now, but it's simply on the fact that I don't know how much he's going to play.
Right. We do have to wait and see.
Well, we're not going to know.
Well, you might get some indications. You might get some
unless they say they're not playing them, like the Steelers did. Because otherwise, it could be a quarter, could be a half, could be a drive.
That's why I don't really want to start any Giant, any Cowboy, any starting Giant.
Yeah, but
Cowboy.
Here's the thing I go back to, Adam. We ran into this with Kirk Cousins last year.
Yeah, I know. But that was lucky. I mean, first of all, Cousins was playing like sensationally. Not to say that Beckham hasn't been. It's still risky. He only threw 15 passes. He threw 12 of 15 with 3 touchdowns.
Right. But I in start sit, I don't know how you approach it with the cheat sheet, Dave, but in start sit, I said sit Eli, sit Dak, sit Jennings, and sit Zeke. But I didn't touch the receivers because all it could take is one play for them to get 40 yards and a touchdown, and they're worth starting.
Why sit Zeke, though?
Because that would be the stupidest one that, of all these guys, he'd be the stupidest one to play.
Yeah.
Because if you lose Dak, you know you have arguably
Romo,
the best backup in the NFL.
Sure.
It's a lot harder for these receivers to get hurt, although we've seen it happen. You know, Julio and Dez, you know, earlier this year. They can get hurt, but it's a lot harder for those guys to get hurt. Somebody rolls up on Zeke's ankle, they're done.
Did you see what Beckham said? He said...
His thumb?
No, I didn't see that. I know he's been dealing with a bad thumb for like 5 weeks, but He said, you know, we're going to be basically like, it's only natural. We're going to be looking ahead to the next week. He's conflicted about this game.
As well, he should be.
Yeah, I know. Ah, man. If you feel even decent about a receiver, you might want to just, again, this is going to be a personal call, you know? You might just want to play it safe and go with a guy you think is going to play four quarters.
The worst part about this is that we don't know what Ben McAdoo's philosophy is. Like, we can go back and look and see what Tom Coughlin did. He played his starters against the Patriots in week 17 several years ago. It was a 38-35 game. The starters played the whole way, and they got some momentum for the playoffs. They eventually won the Super Bowl.
You go with Coughlin's philosophy or Mike McCarthy's
philosophy?
Right,
that's the thing, is that McAdoo came to the Giants from Green Bay when he worked with McCarthy, and I don't have McCarthy's philosophy off the top of my head. I don't remember what he's done in the past. Right?
It can't use it to predict. I mean, I think what you have to use is
sure you can't, because it's history.
Yeah, but we don't know that McAdoo would use anyone else's philosophy.
Yeah, he has, I'm sure, his own take on it.
Yeah. His take so far has been we're playing it out.
But see, I can at least understand it from the Giants' perspective. The Cowboys' perspective makes no sense.
None.
They just came off arguably one of their best performances of the season offensively. They have some guys that are nicked up, you know, Tyron Smith not being able to play. Why would you take the chance?
Right.
And so I think with them, it's easier to say, okay, I'll start X receiver over Dez. I'll start X running back over Zeke. And just hope that those guys don't, you know, the stars don't play or play enough that it hurts them. And look, I understand you have a rookie quarterback. He's never been to playoffs. You don't want him to lose his touch after coming off strong performance and having to sit for 2 weeks. But the last thing you want to see is the Carr injury or the Mariota injury or just, you know, sprained ankle for Dak and ruin what momentum they have. I mean, whether they win the Super Bowl or not or make it past their first playoff game, who cares? Give yourself a chance. Yeah. And don't ruin that by getting a guy hurt in a meaningless game.
In 2007, the Cowboys played their starters, it looks like about a half. So Romo played a half, and then Brad Johnson came in.
2007?
2007.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Jason Garrett was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter. Yeah, but again, like, this is the head coach's decision.
And I think they don't want to do that again, necessarily.
Yeah. All right, so how crazy would you be to start Steve Smith over Dez Bryant?
I don't think that's crazy at all.
That's an easy one.
You would do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
How crazy would you have to be to start E.J. Manuel over Dak Prescott?
I don't think that's too crazy.
Yeah, I would do it too.
All right. How about starting Alfred Blue over Ezekiel Elliott?
I would do that too.
I don't know if I'm there yet.
All right.
Because couldn't Houston limit Alfred Blue's workload too?
Why?
They've got nothing to play for. They don't want to lose another running back.
But they have.
I don't know how hurt Lamar Miller is. He's missed a game. He's
going
to miss.
I mean, look, Miller said
is he
going
close to playing.
Miller said going into last week that he would have played
if they let him.
Yeah.
Hmm. How crazy would you have to be to start Thomas Rawls over LeSean McCoy? Rawls against the Niners, McCoy against the Jets.
Well, I don't know why you would do that.
Because, you know, it's the Jets and it's the Niners.
No, I'm starting LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I don't think the Jets run defense is very good.
Unless he's inactive come Sunday morning.
Wait, he
returned to practice today. He was dealing with an illness.
Yeah, no, McCoy's fine. And Rawls is good, too. Rawls practiced in full, so he should be good to go, which is great news for Rawls owners. But the Jets run defense. And I'm just messing around. Kind of I'm starting McCoy over just about anyone. But the Jets run defense has been pretty good, other than the Niners game, really.
And the Dolphins game the first time.
Yeah, but that was more the Dolphins offense.
Sure.
Yeah, no, McCoy.
But I mean, the Patriots ran on them moderately successfully.
Yeah. Not terrible. Not good. Not great, but moderately successful. I'd say that. All right. Listen, there are so many news and notes. So let's get to it. I will read it, you know, like four or five at a time, and then I'll let you guys jump in. But RG3 has been cleared from the concussion protocol, so he's probably going to play, which upsets me a little bit for the Steelers defense, because he's not a turnover machine, unfortunately.
he's a sack machine, though.
He is a sack machine. They are all sack machines. So Steelers or Ravens?
Steelers.
I'll take the Ravens.
All right, Dave has them back-to-back. Steelers or Vikings?
Steelers.
I don't remember if I think I would take the Steelers out of the Vikings.
All right. It's close, though. Still like the Steelers. Running back news. Doug Martin, 4-game suspension for testing positive for Adderall. Obviously, he'll miss 3 next year. Adderall considered a performance-enhancing drug. Charles Sims is out this week, so Jacquizz Rodgers will get a lot of run. Get it? Against Carolina. Let's talk about this, guys. What do you think for Doug Martin going forward?
I don't know if there is a going forward. We have to see what team he's going to be on next year because the suspension voids the guaranteed money that the Bucks owe him now, so they can get out of the contract very easily. And at this point, why would you even consider paying him what you owe him? So maybe they restructure his deal. Do they even want him back? You know, I mean, he's had two good seasons for them. One was in a contract year. One was his rookie season. You know, Dirk Cutter's got a great, not a great, he's got a history with Jacquizz Rodgers and he seems to trust him. And Charles Sims is a guy that they, you know, at least management likes. So, with the position being what it is, you could probably find a third option to work in there with Rodgers and Sims. Maybe it's Peyton Barber. Maybe it's, you know, somebody that they bring in next year. Maybe this is a Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook destination. Who knows?
So I would, if I were them, I would tell Doug Martin, we're going to rip up this deal. If you want to restructure for a 1 year deal to prove it all over again, we'll let you sign it.
Makes sense.
Okay. Melvin Gordon was limited in practice on Wednesday. Didn't see a Thursday practice report for him. Any update?
I don't believe he's practiced as of this recording.
Okay. Well, that
so,
explains
I'm not sure what time they practice.
Well, when we redo this show later today, we'll get the Melvin Gordon update.
Well, he's 3 yards away from 1,000 yards rushing. So okay. I'm sure that that's a motivation to get him back on the field.
Can you imagine if they put him out there one carry, he gets 5 yards, and they're like, oh, you're done. Good.
Would you rule it out?
No.
Oh, that'd be bad. Well, we are going to do all of the rankings tomorrow. We'll go through it. Bilal Powell and Matt Forte, they both missed practice on Wednesday. Do you guys think they're going to play? More so Powell than Forte, I would assume.
Forte, no. It sucks with Powell. I have him as a start and start him, sit him. I'm sure, Dave, you like him as well.
Of course.
It's a great matchup. You know, I think with the Jets being where they are right now, and he's, you know, he's not an old veteran, but he's a veteran. You wonder if he feels the need to go out there and have to prove anything. So it's hard to say that his situation is safe. So I think if you're looking at it from the Thursday perspective, or, you know, if you listen to us on Friday and you play in week 17, you should try and find an alternate option just in case.
Okay. Alternate to Bilal Powell. And there are plenty of them out there. Obviously, D'Angelo, maybe McFadden, Jacquizz Rodgers, Alfred Blue, Lamar Miller, probably not going to play. Chris Ivory is expected to play. Rob Kelly has been limited in practice with a knee injury. Theo Riddick missed practice on Wednesday. Do we have a Thursday practice report on Theo Riddick?
Not yet.
Okay. Spencer Ware practiced, so he looks good to go. Adrian Peterson, don't expect him to play. And Jonathan Stewart, is this a concern that Jonathan Stewart might not play this week?
You know, there's a bunch of Panthers relaxing this week. Olsen didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. Stewart didn't, and Cam's been limited.
Yeah.
So there's
Cam and Olsen will definitely play them.
I would think so. But if it's a meaningless game, and these are, you know, core veterans of the Panthers, maybe you just let them off the hook a week early. Let other people get out there and run in a meaningless game.
So how crazy would it be to sit, if Greg Olsen doesn't play, how crazy would it be to start, EJ Manuel over Cam Newton?
I would consider it.
Yeah, they'd be in this conversation.
Okay. Wide receiver news. Steve Smith likely playing his last game. Kenny Britt missed practice with a shoulder injury. I doubt we want to start him anyway against Arizona. Taylor Gabriel has a foot injury. Stephon Diggs is not practicing. He may not play. Jordan Matthews could sit. Dante Moncrief unlikely to play. And Malcolm Mitchell has missed two straight practices with a knee injury. Is there anything there that you guys want to contribute?
Mitchell's got to be a little nerve-wracking because they can still be the Dolphins without him. They, you know, clearly did a good job without him last week in a game where we thought he was going to play well. Mm-hmm. You know, the matchup against the Jets. So could be a situation that they just want to make sure he's right for the playoffs. And they don't give him his, you know, even if he's out there, a usual amount of snaps or targets.
You could let him go and go to the waiver wire and pick up real American Chris Hogan.
Oh, man, I hope you can do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, J.J. Nelson would be my favorite.
Of course, of course.
Or Marquise Lee.
But if you wanted to get a wide receiver playing in New England with a favorable matchup against this bad Dolphins defense, Kenny Hogan
Stills
would be it.
I'd rather take Stills.
I'd probably rather have Stills too, but Hogan wouldn't be too far behind. Yeah. Taylor Gabriel being out could sting a little bit. I know last week was bad. He almost scored last week. And if he got hurt, now you know why he didn't have such a good game.
Okay, we can say that for Malcolm Mitchell too, I guess.
Yeah,
and
say that for anybody.
Yeah, sure. I was wanting to say, the Dolphins. Byron Maxwell's not going to play, and we mentioned yesterday Abdul Kaddous is out, so they're now down 3/4 of their starting secondary. One of them, Rashad Jones, has been out for a while. Greg Olsen missed practice. Antonio Gates says he plans to return next season, and then there's just a bunch of defensive injuries that we don't really need to get into now. Okay. Hey, interesting tiebreaker in one of the leagues I'm in. Week 16 in the Fantasy Cup that Nando's running and for the Fantasy Network Charity League. I was a semifinalist there. They had a tie in Week 16 for the championship. So they split the pot. It was a $2,500 pot to be donated to charity. So that was great that they split the pot in terms of that. But to determine the real champion, not total points on the bench, not overall record, not head-to-head. They're playing Week 17. What do you think?
I like that.
You like it?
Yeah, I do.
Are they playing Week 17 with their rosters from Week 16?
I'm assuming they can make add drops and do whatever.
That's a fun way to do it.
That's a fun way to do it unless you've got a bunch of Steelers, Cowboys, right. Giants, and Texans.
Right, it's tough in that regard.
Well, I mean, it's still you get to pick up some of these guys.
I think it's cool in this scenario, and they're splitting the pot and just kind of playing an unofficial championship. It's fun, you know. It's a more fun
way. Sounds
pretty
official to me.
Well, no, I mean they're splitting the pot, so they're kind of co-champs.
But they're still going to crown a champion.
They are. So Jamie, you know, I got that 1-point win over you in FFT. And somebody, one of our listeners, was emailing with me today and told me there was an Amari Cooper stat correction.
Okay.
And I freaked out because I have Amari Cooper in that league, and if I lose 2 yards from him or 3 yards, you win.
Or catch.
But he got a stat correction positively, so I still win. Thank goodness. Freaked me out, though. Sorry, I hope that didn't sound braggy. I was just thought that was funny.
Okay, I know who you sound like.
He's rubbing it in.
I'm not rubbing it in.
You are absolutely
who
rubbing it in.
Who rubs in a 1-point
hey,
win?
Remember that time I whipped your butt by one whole point? Oh, there was a stat correction, but it's in my favor. And now I'm going to bring down my Nintendo so everyone can play. Yay, I'm Adam Azer the Giver. By the way, Jamie, you lost, I won. You lost, I won. Ha ha ha. That's what I just heard.
Okay, that's what I was trying to communicate.
It's all right, so, I still have his money, so.
That's a good point. tough calls this week. Just to recap, in case you missed it, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they will not play this week. Dallas says they're going to play their healthy guys. Houston says they're playing to win and they're not going to rest players. The Giants intend to play their healthy players. Those are the four teams that have nothing to play for, but we're not going to fall for it. We're not going to expect them to go all out and play their guys the entire game.
Well, Adam, go with the Steelers for a second, because we had a lot of discussion on Tuesday about which running backs could help you in these scenarios. And we talked to D'Angelo Williams, and there's a latest report from the Pittsburgh ESPN reporter, Jeremy Fowler, who used to work for us. And he suggests, not official, that D'Angelo Williams will get the quote unquote healthy workload. We've seen D'Angelo a lot over the last 2 years with Le'Veon Bell suspended and injured. So he's played 13 games without Bell. He's gotten double digits in fantasy points in standard league 10 times.
Yeah.
Not
as good this year, would you say that?
Well, he played 3 games, and 2 of them he did play well.
He put up numbers, right? Like, he didn't at the Eagles, but I don't remember.
Right, they got destroyed at the Eagles. The whole team played poorly.
Right. Look, he's playing the Browns. It would be awesome.
Right. I think, you know, D'Angelo is one of those guys. First off, if you play daily in week 17, he's at the lowest price point of the running backs, $4,500. So it's an easy guy to plug into your lineup. And like you said, he's playing the Browns. So even with a scaled back offensive line, a backup quarterback, there's still a chance for him to, you know, 40, 50 yards and a score here. Because they are at home, and you know what that team typically does at home.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he got 15 carries. I wouldn't be surprised if there was 100 yards and 2 touchdowns there.
Right. And look, it's not a Mike Tomlin statement. It's a reporter's assumption.
Yeah.
If it's Fitzgerald Toussaint, it's almost the same conversation.
By the way, Jeremy Fowler, very nice guy, despite what Urban Meyer said about him. Look it up.
Do you think when Jeremy Fowler wins his fantasy leagues, he's, you know, humble? Or do you think he goes, ha ha, you lost my point. I beat you. I'm the man. You stink. I win. You lose. Ha ha ha.
Jeremy would never do that. He's a very nice guy.
You know what the nice thing is? Is that when Adam comes down and brings a Nintendo, I'm going to smash it.
What did you say?
Nothing.
I completely missed that. I heard when he comes down and brings the Nintendo, but did not hear anything else. All right, so let's go to some of the tough calls. Kirk Cousins. If the Giants really aren't going to rest their guys, we'll see about Janoris Jenkins. Kirk Cousins is one of two quarterbacks to score 20 or more fantasy points against the Giants this year. His 23 fantasy points in week four-ish, maybe three, are the most by any quarterback against the Giants this season, so that's pretty impressive, but it was only 23 after all. Yeah, starter sit Kirk Cousins.
This isn't a tough call. The Giants aren't going to play a lot of their defensive guys for most of the game if they play them at all.
They sure as heck shouldn't.
And so he should have a field day at home.
Janoris Jenkins is practicing. Could you imagine if he's less than 100% they're going to put him back out there in a meaningless game? That makes no sense to
me. Yeah.
Why not let him rest?
Between Jenkins and Eli Apple and Harrison, I don't know why they would you know, risk it with some of these guys. And I certainly wouldn't play Olivier Vernon at this point. So, what's the upside there for the Giants? Like, it's one thing to get their offense going. The defense has been great all year.
Yes, yes. And their middle linebacker, Jonathan Casillas, is banged up, too. They should probably rest him. But you can't, it's not college football, you know. You can't just rest everyone. There aren't enough bodies.
Right, that's what Bill Belichick was talking about earlier this week. He's like, we only have so many starters. It's not right, like this is a preseason game.
Also, sorry to interrupt. Why are people asking Bill Belichick if he's going to rest people? They have to win. Like that,
I don't think anybody's really asking.
I don't think it was asking him, like, specifically, are you resting your guys? I think it was just more a philosophy question.
Right, and this is a great week to get his philosophy on it since he's not resting his guys.
All right. Well, I interpreted it differently. I've seen people write about how the Patriots, like they've mentioned the Patriots resting players. No. No, they have to win.
Or yeah, have the Raiders lose. I think the thought would be is that the Raiders potentially will lose the game against Denver.
Yeah, you can't take that risk. All right. How about Matthew Stafford against Green Bay? He had 32 fantasy points in the first meeting. Things have changed. One game in his last nine with more than 19 fantasy points. It was at New Orleans. So start or sit Matthew Stafford?
I think he's good enough to start.
Yeah, I don't think it's a slam dunk because we've seen him play well and not have big fantasy days. But Green Bay's offense is just rolling right now. And you saw Sam Bradford in that comeback effort last week, 30-plus fantasy points. I mean, Stafford should fall into 20 unless we see a lot of short area touchdowns from their running game or just some fluky things happen for them. It's just one of those. I doubt Green Bay's routing the Lions.
You know,
I still think it'll be fun, not to interrupt you. I still think it'll be fun if the Lions and Packers do a handshake agreement and they tie.
So they both get in?
Yep.
But who wins the division? The Lions, right?
Lions would. That's why they won't do that.
Yeah. So
the Lions would do it.
Yeah, the Lions would be happy to do it. That'd be great. I want to look at this group here of starters that are actually 10-11-12 for Jamie and 10-11-14 for Dave and 11-9-8 for Heath. So they're all like let's say roughly 10th or 11th. And that is Stafford, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. That's how Jamie has it. 10-11-12. Stafford, Winston, Newton. Dave goes Stafford, Newton 11, Winston 14. He has Matt Moore and Sam Bradford in between Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. I don't know. Like, after 8 or 9 quarterbacks, you guys have like Carson Palmer and Blake Bortles 8th and 9th in some order. I'm nervous about everyone after that, including Stafford,
sure,
including Jameis Winston, who just has not been very productive and doesn't have Cameron Brate. And Cam Newton's been bad most of the year. So do you guys sort of feel the same way?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I think Stafford's got an opportunity, but I don't think it's guaranteed because again, we haven't seen it. We've seen him in some good matchups before. The thing I like about Winston is, I think his ceiling is not very high, but I think his floor is somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 points. And so I think you look at it, three of the last four quarterbacks against the Panthers have scored at least 19. So I could see him having, it being in that range. And the same thing with Newton.
Okay. So let's say you have one of those guys and or you have like Philip Rivers who's even below them and you're just not feeling it. Who would you suggest? I mean, Bortles is an obvious one, right?
Yeah.
Who else? Would you go with a Matt Moore? Dave, I see you have Sam Bradford 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Bradford, Moore, Manuel, these guys have a chance. Landry Jones, you know, just given the matchup.
Yeah.
You know, he's just not going to have a lot of weapons. I think Flacco is interesting this week, and so is Alex Smith, because their running games have been really inconsistent. And if the idea is Flacco's going to try and feature Steve Smith as much as possible, so figure, let's just say, ballpark it, good game, 100 and a touchdown. We like Dennis Pitta, he doesn't score very much, but if he has a game like last week, there's 75 yards. He'll take some shots with Mike Wallace, he'll take some shots with Breshad Perriman. I wouldn't be surprised if he has one of his better games on the road. Okay. And Alex Smith, it's there's no predictability with him because it's so up and down, and you know Tyreek Hill carries the ball more than catches it, and that's a touchdown for him. You know, they have the random, you know, stupid Poe play like last week. But, you know, this is a Chargers defense that has been very good against quarterbacks, but I still think the Chiefs offense can move the ball.
Yeah.
I wouldn't start either of those quarterbacks.
I like Flacco. Smith, I'm with you, but I like Flacco.
We know how he is on the road.
Yeah, but it's, again, there are things that fall in place for him here. So.
Yeah. Well, like Jamie says, he likes Flacco. He has him 16th, so he likes Matt Moore better.
Right. Like, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
There's no, I feel like there's very little upside with Flacco.
Oh, I'm looking at it from, can these guys get me to 18 points? Like, I don't think Matt Moore is getting above 20.
I think he can get you above 20.
Of course he could. I don't think it's going to happen. So, you know, last week he played well. He got you 19 points. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's going to have, And like I said to you on our video show, you know, Dave brought up a scenario of, and I think he kind of alluded to it before, with Alfred Blue. You know, do the Texans risk Alfred Blue going out there for 18, 20 plus carries like we saw last week, 21 carries, with the idea of do they want to risk him getting hurt with something happening to Lamar Miller? It's the same thing with Matt Moore. Do you want to risk Matt Moore getting hurt if the Patriots are up 2 touchdowns and they know, oh God, we have to, you know, still try and win this game and hope that the Chiefs lose and this and that? The last thing they want to do is see Matt Moore take a shot, and now they're going to, you know, their third-string quarterback.
Okay, so let's just say this. Let's hope you have Rodgers or Brady or Ryan or Cousins or Breeze, Luck, Wilson, even Palmer or Bortles this week. Let's hope you have that in your championship. And let's hope you're going to Buffalo Wild Wings, because no team goes into the season without a game plan, and if they did, game day highlights would be nothing more than a Football Follies compilation. And while follies are hilarious, Buffalo Wild Wings knows that fans prefer the taste of glory on game day. The kind of glory that comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from. Getting hungry, man. Or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap. Or a collection of wall-to-wall flat screens so big it would make your head spin. We cover all of those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience that fans can appreciate. And we do it because we appreciate fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win. And having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan. So, let's go to the running backs. Let's look at Alfred Blue at Tennessee. D'Angelo Williams against Cleveland. Darren McFadden at Philadelphia. Jacquizz Rodgers against Carolina. Those four. I'm going to take Alex Collins out of the mix now. So Blue, Williams, McFadden, Rodgers. Give me your two favorites.
Rodgers is the clear number one.
Yep. Rodgers and Blue for now, but if it becomes clear that it's Williams, it's Rodgers and Williams.
How are we going to know that? Like, at what point would you feel comfortable?
If I see this report from Fowler confirmed someplace else or speculated someplace else, but this is how I approach, I mean, again, you know, to pull back the curtain a little bit, we got in a very big argument on our show Tuesday on and off the air about D'Angelo Williams and where he stands and how I felt about him. And I still think that based on track record of the team, track record of the player, scenario because of the opponent, that he sets up to have a decent day. And you alluded to it, Adam. If he gets 15 carries against the Browns, there's a good chance for him to have 100 yards and, you know, potentially a big day.
Right, a huge ceiling.
Right. So I think that there's, you know, the upside for him. When I originally did my rankings, Monday, whatever it was, we published our rankings Tuesday morning. I had D'Angelo in my top five. So wow. I thought that the situation for him and you know, Dave, you can assess it how you will in this scenario. If he had not been hurt and been the backup all season long, whether or not he's been playing or not, because they weren't going to take Le'Veon Bell off the field. But if he had been, you know, active, not dealing with knee injury, I don't think there'd be any question about where he would be coming into this week. So the upside for him is huge. Like you said, very high ceiling. It's just a matter of, will they trot him out there and do what Jeremy Fowler suggests, healthy workload, or will it be, all right, D'Angelo, you've done your job. You've gotten 15 carries. You know, you carried us through the first half. We didn't want to make Landry Jones put any pressure on him and go take a seat. And at that point, he has 65 total yards and, you know, not much.
Right. And that's why I think we all really like Jacquizz Rodgers, right? Because it's just...
it's safer.
Yeah.
You've seen it from him.
Yeah. Every time he's had double-digit carries or, you know, he's been good.
And same with there Blue was one against Carolina where he had 30 carries.
He had 30, yeah. And no Kuechly, so, you know, looks good. But Alfred Blue, just to make a case for him, he's, you know, he's having a better year. He's averaging 4.4 yards per carry, but 11 for 63 at Denver, 16 for 55 at Indianapolis, and then 21 for 73 and a touchdown and four catches against Cincinnati. He had entered that game last week against the Bengals with no touchdowns and five catches. So, you know, he's had three games with double-digit carries, 11, 16, and 21. And he didn't really do very well with 11 carries at Denver. He had, you know, 63 yards, that's good, with 16 carries at the Colts. I don't know. I don't think that Alfred Blue is very good. That's what's kind of troubling me with this, and that's why sure. I think it's a tough call. But you do have to like the opportunity.
And, you know, again, the Titans' run defense has done a nice job all year. But in six of the last seven games, a running back has gotten either 90 total yards or touchdown against them. Mm-hmm. So playing the guessing game, who's the best chance to get that if that continues, if it's 7 of 8 games? I don't think it's Akeem Hunt. I don't think it's Jonathan Grimes. It's probably Alfred Blue.
Yeah, but let me bring this up with the Titans' defense. Only one team in the NFL has seen fewer rush attempts than the Titans' defense. And that's the Cowboys. These two teams are two of the best in terms of yards per game. And that is largely because they don't see a lot of rush attempts. But that, you know, we know the Titans secondary is awful. So it makes sense. You throw on them. The Texans can't do that. So, and they have given, you look at Lamar Miller, like his last four or five games, and then last week with Alfred Blue, you're talking, the feature running back is getting about 20 carries every single week.
Oh, it was their game plan last year, too. They just weren't able to execute it because Alfred Blue was bad.
Do you see that happening? You think he gets about 20 carries?
Yeah, I do. Just because, again, you know, you kind of set it up perfectly. The Titans are able to dominate time of possession when they're healthy. They don't have a quarterback this week. Mm-hmm. Matt Castle's not going to run the offense to the same level that Mariota does. And so while they want to run the ball and dominate time of possession, that's Mike Mularkey's game plan, which has worked out for them more times than not this year. So DeMarco Murray will get his, Derrick Henry will get his, but the Texans are going to load up the line of scrimmage and make them throw. And so the one thing that I think would be interesting, and I don't think this necessarily crushes Alfred Blue, but you have a quarterback making his second start, his third appearance in Tom Savage. This is a secondary you can have some success at. Feel good about your passing game. And so you saw it last week with Bortles. Career high, season high in quarterback rating, season high in completion percentage. Tom Savage could come out and play well here and get DeAndre Hopkins going and get Will Fuller back on track and, you know, hopefully turn things around a little bit for them going into the playoffs where they're probably going to face the Dolphins and have success throwing the ball if that's the case.
Okay. You think they're going to face the Dolphins? I think they're going to face the Steelers. I mean, I think they're going to face the other wild card.
The Chiefs?
Or Raiders.
The Raiders?
I'm not sure. I thought the Dolphins...
No, Dolphins are the six.
Yeah, the Steelers are the three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, Dave, let's talk about another tough call. Deion Lewis at Miami. Miami needs to win. If Miami wins, I think if Miami wins, they'll be the five, or do they need a loss too?
They need a win and the Chiefs loss.
Okay. So Deion Lewis has had 18 carries and 16 carries in his last two games. Dolphins allow 4.6 yards per carry. Is Deion Lewis a tough call this week?
I don't want to trust him. And I know he's had a lot of work the last 2 weeks. I think it's great. He's not catching the ball nearly as much as he used to. He's not the goal line guy. That's LeGarrette Blount. And Blount's had, you know, over the course of the season, a lot of work at times. And I just, I think it's kind of a low ceiling for Deion Lewis. I feel like if you're starting him and you're expecting 10 fantasy points, you're expecting too much.
Okay. So these replacement running backs.
I agree with that assessment wholeheartedly. The one thing that I think is interesting is, do the Patriots want to keep LeGarrette Blount safe? And I say this as, you know, he's on our cover as a start of the week, because I think that he still has an opportunity to score because they need to win the game. But you mentioned the workload. Is it at this point, and I don't even know if I believe this saying it, is Deion Lewis the most expendable of the three guys?
No, I'd say White is.
You'd say White is?
I would. I'd say Lewis.
I know why Dave's saying that, because James White's been their pass down guy, and LeGarrette Blount could be their rushing down guy.
Yeah, I personally think that Deion Lewis is their best running back. I think he's been running better than LeGarrette Blount recently.
Well, that's why he's getting more work. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I believe it, but I think just you know, if you take it, okay, you see that they're, you know, not pulling White from his role, pass protection, catching the ball. You know, that's what we thought was going to happen, was that he would lose that spot. And Lewis has still done a very, Lewis hasn't, you know, overtaken him. White's still done a good job, in that role. But I just wonder if this week, if they get ahead, you see a lot more Deion Lewis than you do LeGarrette Blount. I'm hoping LeGarrette Blount scores in the first half. So I get that production from him as, you know, we're touting him. But I wouldn't be surprised if Lewis is the guy in the fourth quarter killing the clock for them.
But you guys like the replacement guys better than Deion Lewis.
Yeah, like Dave said, it's hard to trust him.
Yeah.
You know, so the workload's been there for him. I think if he had gotten the touchdown that he really scored 2 games ago, you'd probably feel a little bit different.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
All right, hey, same game. Jay Ajayi coming off a 200-yard game. He had no more than 61 rushing yards in any of his previous 4 games. The Patriots allow the 3rd fewest rushing yards per game in the league, the 6th fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. They've gone 5 straight without allowing more than 60 rushing yards to a running back. So this is a tough matchup for Jay Ajayi, and I do think there's a chance that even with you know, being at home, there's a good chance they're trailing in this game. So, yeah, is Jay Ajayi a tough call this week?
Very. There are 3 running backs that are ranked in my top 24 that make me very nervous, and that's Jay Ajayi, Latavius Murray, and Todd Gurley. And you laid out every scenario for Ajayi, on top of the fact that he's got a shoulder injury, coming off a game with 30-plus carries, and they know they're going to need him in that week 1 playoff matchup, the wild card round, against Pittsburgh, because he was their offense against the Steelers the last time they faced him. And really, with Matt Moore, he's their best chance to win.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if he doesn't get going in the first quarter, they get blasted early by the Patriots moving the ball over them, Jay go have a seat, and we see Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake for a good portion of this game.
Dave, how you feeling?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I agree with Jamie on this one. I think that it's going to be tough to expect a huge game from Jay Ajayi. This is a very good Patriots run defense. They have played better at home than on the road. And I know I'd still expect Ajayi to get a lot of work in this game. But no one's expecting Miami to keep it close or low scoring. The Patriots should be able to put up 17 points by halftime, 24 to 31 points by the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they can.
I wouldn't. I'm not going to say that no one expects the Dolphins to keep it close. I think they might. Like, they beat them week 17 at home last year.
Adam, if they're keeping it close and it's a high scoring game, then Ajayi probably has something to do.
I don't know that it's a high scoring game. I'm not. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not saying. I don't think the Patriots are definitely running up the score on the Dolphins.
Well, I think you talked about this earlier with Abdul Qadus not being there. They're down 3-4
right.
Their secondary.
It's just, to me, that seems crazy. Tough. I think they absolutely will.
All right, fine. But, you know, the fact is, I didn't want to just make it about the score and the situation. Ajayi has not been good most
right.
of the second half. And last week, he was great.
And even to, you know, what Dave's argument was, or maybe your argument, Adam, about the score, Matt Moore threw 4 touchdowns against the Jets, and Ajayi had a bad game.
Sure.
That's true.
So, you know, they could still have success scoring and Ajayi not being a huge part of that. Again, I go back more so to they're playing next week. He dinged up his shoulder, 32 carries, and they have to have things happen. It's not like the Patriots or the Falcons or, you know, the teams that control their own destiny. The Dolphins have to have things happen for them that are probably unrealistic. The Chargers just lost to the Browns. It's very doubtful that they're going to beat the Chiefs. So, you know, plus they have to beat the Patriots, who are the best team in the NFL. So it's just the uphill climb for them to risk Ajayi, you know, being run down or tired or getting hurt. I just don't know what the upside is. And as I'm talking myself into this, I'm going to move him down my rankings.
All right, you're going to move him behind Jacquizz Rodgers?
He already is.
I don't know if I'm there yet.
All right. All right, let's talk about Latavius Murray then, since we're on the topic of tricky running backs. You know, I had Latavius Murray as my loser and on the Monday podcast because he doesn't get the big workload when DeAndre Washington is really contributing. But, you know, you go back to the first meeting against the Broncos, they ran the ball around 40 times or something. And maybe they'll do that again. So,
you better believe they're going to try and do that again.
Right. So he might
not
get
this thing to fall into Matt McGloin's hands.
Right. He might not get the same percentage of carries that you want, but they might run the ball so much he might end up getting 20 anyway. Dave, do you also think Latavius Murray is a tricky one to rank this week?
I think so. But the things that I like about him, at least previously, was that he was the main guy in this Oakland backfield. He got a lot of work and he'd find the end zone. Now, last week, he didn't get a ton of work compared to others. And he certainly didn't score. You saw Richard and DeAndre Washington do that. So why are you starting him? You're doing it because he's the lead back in an offense in a tough spot. I don't know if I can dig him there. And I've got him ranked 17th, and I don't know if I feel really good about that.
I think the nice thing is you know they're going to try and run the ball. Their offensive line is still a strength of that team, and probably now its greatest strength with Derek Carr
being there. But can't the Broncos very easily load the box and dare Matt McGloin to throw?
Sure, but I would imagine that's typically the way they play anyway. I mean, they trust those corners to man up.
Right.
You know, they trust their safeties to play over the top. It's not like those guys, you know, have to, roll coverage in any direction because their guys are in the secondary are so good. But now you have, I would imagine Brandon Marshall doesn't play. They just put DeMarcus Ware on IR. TJ Ward's still going through the concussion protocol.
Derek Wolfe's hurt, right?
Derek Wolfe is hurt.
Kalechi Osemele is also hurt. Actually, injuries are going to play a big role in this game.
Right. The thing that I go back to with Murray is if they are trailing in this game, knowing that they have to play next week, do they dial him back?
Yeah. Well, would you start Darren Sproles over Latavius Murray?
PPR and standard, absolutely.
PPR, yes. I'm not there in standard because you're hearing Doug Peterson talk up some of the other guys at this point. And if you're
not buying it,
the Eagles, it's tough to, but if you're the Eagles at this point, what do you have to gain by running Darren Sproles out there for a huge workload?
A win. No,
I think
it means something to Doug Peterson. I know it is, but I think that's kind of what they're going for.
I just hesitate to think. Now, look, he was great against Dallas the last time when it was a competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, nine fantasy points in three straight games. So I think I don't want to say he's safe because it's Darren Sproles,
mm-hmm.
but he's got the ability to be safe. I don't know if he's safer than Murray.
Okay, guys. Wide receivers that are tough this week. How about Demaryius Thomas going up against Oakland? He caught a touchdown, 5 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown against the Falcons with Paxton Lynch, and he will have Paxton Lynch throwing him the ball this week. What do you think about Demaryius Thomas? Is he a number 2 wide receiver?
No, he's a number 3.
He's my favorite receiver in this game.
Oh, I wasn't even going to ask about the Raiders, guys. I'm staying.
Yeah, you can't use them.
Way away from them. Let's talk about a different wide receiver. Let's talk about Tyreek Hill at San Diego. Starter sit Tyreek Hill.
He makes you nervous for all the reasons that you know. Very boomer bust. The way he's been scoring has been super fluky. You're talking about a receiver who's breaking long runs for touchdowns and doesn't have a catch in consecutive weeks. It's a little dicey to trust him, I think.
Yeah. Well, would you start him over? Would you start Tyreek Hill or Demaryius Thomas?
Hill.
Hill has more upside. So I think that's kind of an easy one to go with.
It's funny, Adam, because in our matchup last week, I debated because of the PPR scoring and because of the, seeing how your team had performed. So I had the choice going into Saturday night of Tyreek Hill or Eli Rogers. And I asked, a couple guys on our show, because I was torn. Sometimes we overthink these things, especially when we're so dialed into it. And I thought, okay, Eli Rogers, he gets the Ravens. They struggle with slot receivers. He's going to catch four or five passes. It ended up being a 1 point difference.
Really?
And that shows you how explosive Tyreek Hill is, but also because in a PPR league, he doesn't deliver those extra points.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, if you had gotten one more point, you would, no, just never mind, never mind. Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm going to smash
that was mean.
Hey, Larry Fitzgerald, I got to call, like, Heath, dude. Heath has not given up on Larry Fitzgerald. He's got him 25th in standard, 17th in PPR. They're at the Rams. The Rams have given up 11 touchdowns to wide receivers in their last six games. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You guys do like J.J. Nelson better than Fitzgerald this week, right?
Oh, I love J.J. Nelson this week.
Fitzgerald, you can make the case for in PPR.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's 20 yards away from his eighth 1,000-yard season.
Look at there.
Eight catches away of a new career high. So he could get you 8 for 60, which is 14. I think J.J. Nelson can do better than that in PPR, but I think it's much safer to assume the 14 for Larry.
Oh, I don't know about that. Because we've seen now, especially the last 2 weeks, with Michael Floyd off the team, that he's got
the targets have gone up. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and the numbers bear it out. He's got four games this year with at least seven targets. He's got four games this year when he's had those seven targets, at least 8 points in a standard league. Mm-hmm. Now he's coming off three games in a row with a touchdown. So
isn't it four?
Four games in a row with a touchdown, yeah. Five touchdowns over that span.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to see a lot of EJ Gaines. That's a win.
It's a win against almost anybody.
Hey, by the way, last year J.J. Nelson had three games with four or more targets. That's it. 7, 20, and 5 fantasy points in those three games. So 7 points on four targets, pretty good. 20.
He's DeSean Jackson version 2017.
He's really interesting going into 2017. That's what I think. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. How about Dontrell Inman? Would you rather start Larry Fitzgerald, Dontrell Inman, Tyreek Hill? Rank those three.
Hill, Inman, Fitzgerald.
I think I would lean that way. In standard, I might take Hill over those guys.
How are you ranking Pierre Garçon this week? You know, if the Giants were going all out, it might be a tough call.
Right.
Well, totally.
What do you think?
Well, if you're assuming that the Giants rest a bunch of their defensive players, Garçon would have a cakewalk to, you know, 80, 90 total yards, which is high for him.
I just did because I put both of them as a start in start set. So in the last six games, they've hit 90 yard. They both scored 9 fantasy points 3 times over
this is
that.
Is DeSean
span.
And Garçon?
Yeah. Garçon's floor has been as consistent as you can find. He's gotten 7 or more of those 6 games 5 times. So he's only had one game under 70 yards receiving. His PPR value has been very good because he's been 6 or more catches pretty much every game except for 2. Mm-hmm. Last week he was 4 for 90. So, yes, Adam, if they had their, if you expected the Giants to play all out on the defensive side of the ball, very hard to trust them. The scenario plays out as we expect. You should see Garçon and Jackson continue to play well. And if you just want to look at it, just based on, you know, you mentioned it before, Kirk Cousins having the best game against the Giants. In that game, DeSean had the big play, you know, which has been the case for him against the Giants, seemingly, the last few times he struggles, then he hits the one big play. Jameson Crowder had a big game. And as we've seen, the passing of the torch from Crowder to Garçon the last 5 weeks or so.
Sure. All right. And the tight ends, the ones I have as tough matchups are tough calls. Charles Clay, who is a top 9 wide receiver in standard and top 8 in PPR for all 3 of our analysts. Jimmy Graham, who has, you know, look, I get it, you're probably not sitting him, but one game with more than 5 fantasy points on the road, and he's at San Francisco. The Chargers tight ends against Kansas City, and Martellus Bennett, who knows, at Miami, and they're not very good against tight ends. Did you struggle with any of those guys? Clay, Gates, Graham, Bennett?
Not Bennett.
Nope.
And not Gates. Gates is the easy guy to get away from.
What do you think about Bennett?
I think Bennett plays well.
I think it's a great matchup for him.
Scored in 2 of his last 3. Again, Mitchell may not play. Dolphins are down another defensive back. It's just an easy situation. Just like last year.
2 of the last 4 opponents against the Dolphins, the ones that are tight end centric, had multiple touchdowns from their tight ends.
Yep. They've really been bad. And so the same thing with Clay. I know the quarterback situation makes you a little queasy because it's EJ Manuel. But you think about it. The Jets have allowed 7 touchdowns to tight ends in their last 4 games.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's like What's the better situation here? The combination of EJ Manuel and Charles Clay, or Matt Moore and Deion Sims? Because so, that was a 2-touchdown game.
Why don't you rank? Why don't you rank Clay, Graham, Bennett?
Graham, Bennett, Clay. I originally had Bennett higher than, I'm sorry, Clay higher than Bennett, but then with the quarterback situation, I downgraded him behind Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys trust Jimmy Graham this week?
I just think the matchup is in his favor. I don't trust San Francisco's defense at all. And so, yes, the road home splits have been awful, but I still think there's a scenario here for him to, you know, at least do what he did last week, you know, 3-4 catches, find the end zone. I like the way Russell Wilson's playing right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in love with Thomas Rawls because of the matchup, but it's still shaky offensive line, shaky running situation. He may have a good game, but the touchdowns may come elsewhere, and Graham could have one of those.
All right, Dave, would you start Martellus Bennett and or Charles Clay over Eric Ebron?
Bennett for sure, and Clay for sure too.
Okay. Sorry, Ebron. Let's read as many emails as we can for the next 5 minutes or so. And let's go to Chris in Dallas. Hey, Charlie, Chris, and Jameis.
Charlie, Chris, and Jameis.
I believe those are Heisman Trophy seniors.
Yeah, Charlie Ward, Chris Wanky. I don't know if I know the Jameis one.
All right, he's got a 2007 keeper question. 12-team PPR, keep three.
2007, we should answer this easily.
Oh, 2017. Julio, Gronk, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Jordan Howard, Brandon Marshall. Keep three of them. Julio, Gronk, Watkins, Hill, Howard, not even considering Brandon Marshall.
I think Julio and Howard are musts.
So is Gronk.
I think Gronk is two ahead of Sammy Watkins, but let's play it out there. Gronk has surgery. Takes him a while to get back. Sammy Watkins, relatively healthy. And
that's a good one.
Injury-free offseason. Well, I'm just saying. Comes into training camp.
Who's the quarterback? Who's the coach? There's just too many downsides.
Anthony Lynn's the coach. The quarterback is Cardale Jones.
Well, look, I think the only thing that changes it is if we get some really bad Gronk offseason stuff, right?
Of course.
Yeah, that would be it. Okay, from another Chris. From these options, who would you keep if you were making the decision today? Just one. Demaryius Thomas, Latavius Murray, Mark Ingram, Stephon Diggs, CJ Anderson, Jeremy Hill, Eric Decker, or Michael Crabtree?
Oy.
Ingram.
Yeah, that was the one that stood out.
I think I'd lean toward Ingram, too.
All right, Ingram it is.
He's 60 yards shy of his first 1,000 yards.
And they're going to get it for him.
Oh, 100%.
They've already been talking it up.
Yeah. See, it helps to complain on the sideline. Except, let me say something. Richard Sherman, like, stop being such a jerk, dude. Don't threaten to take a reporter's credentials away. Like, you're being a jerk.
Is that within his rights, by the way?
What?
No.
Can a player revoke
credentials? Of course not. He's just being kind of crazy. All right, John in Atlanta, down big in my matchup. More up, I guess, a 2-week championship. More upside, Charles Clay or Eric Ebron?
Clay.
Yeah. Lizzie from the hipster capital of the world.
Chris Towers' house.
That's like Austin, Texas, now, isn't it?
I feel like it's Brooklyn. No.
Couldn't it be Nashville?
Is that your house?
I think it's Brooklyn. They're big.
I think it's Detroit.
Lizzie, you gotta let us know. Dear Troy, Emmett, and Michael, I need one wide receiver, two running backs, and two flexes. All right, let's get the wide receiver first. Dontrell Inman, Taylor Gabriel, Ted Ginn, Larry Fitzgerald, Cameron Meredith.
Save the best for last, Meredith.
Yeah.
Meredith, okay. Let's get two running backs. Alfred Blue, Jay Ajayi, Alex Collins, D'Angelo Williams.
Is it Ajayi and D'Angelo?
No. Blue and D'Angelo.
You're putting Blue ahead of Ajayi?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
All right, so D'Angelo's one, and then either Ajayi or Blue. Now you can flex too. So you can go with Ajayi or Blue. Okay. Inman.
There you go.
What would you do?
Yeah, Ajayi's one.
Okay, so then...
You mean Blue is one.
You go with those two running backs, plus D'Angelo, plus Cameron Meredith. We need one more here. We need Inman, Gabriel, Ted Ginn, or Larry Fitzgerald.
Is standard or PPR?
Don't know.
PPR, Fitzgerald, standard Inman.
Okay. Works for me.
All right, I'll go with that. I guess. I might take Fitzgerald either way.
This is from Wayne. Where's Wayne from?
Aurora, Illinois.
Ty Montgomery, Dixon. That's funny. Ty Montgomery, Kenneth Dixon, or Jaquizz Rodgers?
Kenneth Rogers. Dixon.
Rodgers.
Not.
Rodgers over Ty Montgomery?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
You saw the best and worst of Ty Montgomery in consecutive weeks.
Yeah. All right. Tyler from a small town in the middle of the Pacific. Oh, interesting. Somebody's coughing. We all right over there?
It's a long day to quit smoking. Jesus.
Aloha, Philip, Hubert, John, and Zap. Philip, Hubert, John, and Zap. I'm guessing he's from Hawaii, by the way.
Maybe those are his neighbors.
Okay, yeah. Say hello to them. They are from something called... Oh, it's Futurama. Duh. What's the question? Oh, yeah. Brady or Ryan? Oh, Sunday night! He wanted me to sing that, so I did. Brady or Ryan?
Look, I have the email right in front of me. He doesn't say in the email, I want you to sing that.
But he wrote, oh, Sunday night. What else could he possibly
mean? That doesn't mean he wants you to sing it.
Well, at least the streak continues. I like Ryan better.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Yep.
All right. A couple more here. This is from Mike from...
Adam, is Matt Ryan the MVP of the NFL?
I'm really conflicted on this. I think it's either Rodgers or Brady.
Rodgers or Brady?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys think it's Ryan?
I think it's Rodgers or Ryan. I think Brady's the four games hurt him.
Yeah, but he's been so good.
He has been, but so are the other two quarterbacks, and they didn't have their backup win three games without him.
I'd go Rodgers, even though he actually played, in my opinion, kind of poorly at the beginning of the year. I think he's done enough. Who would you guys pick?
It's hard not to give it to Matt Ryan. Their offense has been so explosive. He's having such a phenomenal year, and they have a better record than the Packers. But it's funny because like the last 6 weeks or so, Rodgers has been the best player in football.
Matt Ryan earned it when they won two games without Julio Jones.
Look at Rodgers is doing things that Matt Ryan...
Well, they beat
Ryan...
San Francisco and who else? The Rams?
I think it was the Rams, but still.
You could have quarterbacked the team.
But you could have made the case, all right, well, exactly. Dave Richard could have quarterbacked the Falcons in those games. And do you think they would have won as convincingly?
As convincingly.
They probably would have lost with me. I'm a mess back there.
I mean, just Rodgers is doing things right now that Matt Ryan could never do. It's not Matt Ryan's fault. It's just...
I don't want to get sacked by Aaron Donald.
All right, last question, guys. So this question is, I need one. This is PPR. I have a 15-point lead, I think. Okay, whatever. I need one or two and or a flex out of McCoy, Gurley, D'Angelo Williams, Ivory, Sean Drone, Charles Sims.
Well, McCoy is the obvious one.
Yeah.
If D'Angelo's the guy, I'll take D'Angelo over Gurley.
Would you take D'Angelo over Eli Rogers, who is currently flexing in a PPR league?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Not if Roethlisberger were playing necessarily, but without him, yeah. Also, Kirk Cousins or Blake Bortles?
Cousins as of now.
Cousins.
More of your emails tomorrow. Watch Fantasy Football Today live at noon Eastern for more advice. Listen to Eye on Fantasy Football Saturday night, New Year's Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern until midnight. We can't
wait.
Yes! Yeah. We're talking 2017. And
what's going to happen at midnight, by the way?
I'll be close to the show. I'll be gone.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get in my car if I drive and beat the rush out of the city. Dave, Jamie, thanks, guys.
I thought you guys would at least, like, hug at midnight.
Well, sure. I'll call him. Peace out.
Bye.
Hug.